Okay, so so we're continuing here, and so again, you have a bayazibaya, okay? Bayazibaya is if a guy sticks his hand out. Okay, a guy sticks his hand out, and sticks his hand out across the border. May I, sir? The question is, do they give it a din of a karmelus? In which case, he's not going to be allowed to bring his hand back to his body. Okay? Because his body is, let's say, Rishos Yachid, so his hand's a karmelus. If it has a karmelus, he can't bring it back. Do they give it that din or do they not? So is it also to bring it back or is it not also to bring it back? So basically, the Gemara brings down two brises. One brisa says it's mutter to bring it back, the other brisa says also to bring it back. And the question is, what is it? Are, maybe they're arguing in Abaye's thing, whether they made it a karmelus or whether they didn't make it a karmelus. So the Gemara gave a number of explanations to explain these two brises, so as not to say that they're arguing about Abaye, but something else. So now, that's the last, or the last leg, where he's going to have one more attempt, totally on a different track, a different answer.
If what? They weren't addressing Abaye's thing, what was the answer
to Abaye's question? I don't know. The thing is, he can't necessarily push it from here. So,
okay.
Unknown. I mean, it's going both ways. Different. Well, no, within different answers, are saying different things. One's saying maybe everyone agrees that it is a karmelus and whatever. Some right. Everyone's agreeing it's not a karmelus. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know if it's giving it at the end of the day. But at each stage of the Gemara.
Who's gone to the last one?
I don't know. I'm not sure. So, Zivay Seima, La'olam lo kansu. Okay, really, there's no knas. Okay, they didn't define the hand as a karmelus. Okay, so what's the, so I understand why the Siddur says mutter to bring it back. Very good. So what about the guy who says aser to bring it back? Why is it aser? Hello, Kasha. Kan l'osa chotzer, kan l'chotzer acheras. Okay. So what does that mean? To this chotzer or to a different chotzer? So Rashi. L'osa chotzer shehu omed besocha. So he's standing in a courtyard. And he puts his hand across the border into the Rosh Hashanah. Now he wants to bring it back to the chotzer that he's standing into. Mutter lahachzira, he's allowed to. He's allowed to bring it back to his soul, to the same chotzer. Aval chotzer acheras hasmucha la also lezarkam. But if he wants to, so to speak, pull it back and throw it into the next door neighbor's yard or whatever, that he's not allowed to do. So to speak. Right, okay, so, okay. You know, so Tosa Lachzira means to bring it back to the other Chatzar. Okay, so now he's allowed to bring it back to himself, but he's not allowed to bring it back to the other Chatzar. Okay? Yeah, it's a funny Lashon, but that's what he's saying. It's Lachzira, I guess, because Lachzira to the Rosh Hashiachid. Because the other Chatzar is also Rosh Hashiachid. It's just a different Rosh Hashiachid. So it's Machzir to that Rosh Hashiachid. But it's the other Chatzar.
Why doesn't he just say that?
I don't know. But prices are terse sometimes.
No.
The Gemara says, let's see, the Gemara continues a little bit. It says, Kidavoy Mine Rava Merav Nachman. Like Rava actually asks us, Rav Nachman, Hoisi Adam Alea Peros. So if your hand is full of fruit, so it's Mahu Lach Zira. Losa Chatzar. Could you bring it back to that Chatzar? Amalei Mutter. Where's Mutter? Lachatzar Acheras Mahu. Could you bring it back to a different Chatzar? Amalei Aser. So he says, Umayishna. So what's the difference? So he says, Lechi Techol Allah Kura de Melcha. Okay, Rashi says. When you measure for me a kura of salt, I'll tell you. Okay, Rashi says, Lechi Kura Techol Allah Kura de Melcha. Bibdichusa Ahadarla. He says, the answer is a joke. Keshatindadli Kor Shal Melach. When you measure for me a kura of mal salt, Omer l'chataim o'shaldavar. I'll tell you. It's so to speak, it's like a guy asks you a question, you say, pay me. You know, like it's like a joke, like, if you pay me, I'll tell you. Like, it's that kind of thing. He's saying, is when you measure salt for me, then I'll tell you the answer. It's like a joke. I don't know exactly why I did it, but not like a laughing joke so much. But Lishna achrina l'shetochal aleha kor shel melech. No tuchal hashvosam zu lezu. He's saying, is it just like eating a core of salt is impossible, so too it should be impossible to equate these two things, because it's so obvious, they're totally different. So it's like a sharp retort.
Right.
Okay, fine. So let's leave that go. So it says, so what's the difference? Okay, so he explains. He didn't stop there. Right? After he gave his retort, he told him the answer. Hasam lo is avida machashavto. Hacha is avida machashavto. Because the question is, Maishna, what's the difference? I mean, you bring it back to Rishos Yachad. They're both Rishos Yachad. So you tell me it's not a karmelist and you're allowed to bring it back. So what's the difference if I go from this to this chatzar and that chatzar? There's no issue to bring it to the other chatzar. It's like a carry from one chatzar to another chatzar. They're both Rishos Yachad. Okay, and that's where you're assuming there's an Erev or whatever. I think, who said it? Todd Ron said it? Did you guys see that? It's an Erev Chatzeros, right? Because in general, you can't carry from one chatzar to another chatzar without an Erev Chatzeros. It's a Durabon. But that's what he says. Well, he says either there are one owner or he says there's an Erev Chatzeros, right? So the issue here is there's no problem. So you're allowed to carry from one chatzar to another chatzar. So what's the difference? If you're pulling it back to yourself, or you're pulling it to the other chatzar, who cares? The same exact thing, you're pulling it back to Rishos Yachad. So it never left Rishos Yachad, your hand is Rishos Yachad, you're pulling it back to Rishos Yachad, who cares if you put it, you're allowed to, an object in your Rishos, you're allowed to put it in the other chatzar, so why can't you take this thing and throw it to the other chatzar? What kind of thing is that? So it says, so the answer is no, Hasa lois avida machshavto, Hasa hacha is avida machshavto. There your machshava wasn't accomplished, here your machshava was accomplished. So what does that mean, Rashi? Machshavto sheneskaven lefanosa mechatzar zeh. You intended to remove it from this chatzar, from the chatzar that it's in. Lo neskaima, right? It's by you forcing you to bring it back. You're not going to fulfill your intent. You have to bring it right back to where you started. But hilkach lo gozer avol lechatzar acheras. But if you're going to bring it back to the other chatzar, neskaima machshavto. You are fulfilling your machshava. Namely, because you're removing it from this chatzer. V'gazor dilma zimna achriti shadi l'shus rabim. So the gezerah, perhaps, next time, you're going to throw it actually to l'shus rabim. Question. What he's saying is, the reason why he's saying l'shus rabim is, he's saying is the reason why your gozer that he's going to do it, bring it to l'shus rabim, is because since he's really fulfilling his machshava part by removing it from his chatzer, so there goes there that he's going next time he's going to be mekayim machshava and put it in the Rishos Rabim. But if he's not mekayim machshava, he's not really doing anything. He's just bringing it back to where he started. So why is the guy's not going to then next time bring it through to Rishos Rabim? He's not doing anything. He has no way resembles the Rishos Rabim. Exactly. The question is, it doesn't make sense because if you're saying is I just wanted to remove it from my chatzer, so it's a very easy way to do that. Just put it in the next chatzer, and that's mutter. There's no problem with that. Again, we're talking about the Ransom, we're talking about a case where there's a Chatzeros or whatever. So that's Mutter. So my intent here isn't to remove it from my Chatzer. My intent is to put it into the Rishos Rabim. And I'm not accomplishing that. So what am I doing? I'm accomplishing putting it, removing it from my Chatzer. But that I could have just done directly. That's not what I'm doing. My Machshava in this Hotzah is to get it out of my Rishos into the Rishos Rabim. So, by me getting it back into the chatzer, I'm not accomplishing my machshava any more than if I would have just put it directly into the chatzer. You don't say, for instance, you're not allowed to put it into the next chatzer, because stop. Can't pick up an object and put it into the next chatzer. Why? Because if you do that, maybe you're going to throw it into the Rishos Rab. There's no gezerah like that. It's only in this funny case where you stick your hand out halfway, now I can't throw it into the other chatzer. Why? Because if I do that, then I'm fulfilling my objective of removing it from my chatzer. So now next time I'm going to throw it into the street. So, but then if that's the case, then it should be the same problem. Then I should stop not be allowed to put it into the next chatzer because I'm fulfilling my objective of getting it out of my chatzer. Maybe I'll throw it into the street next time. But there's no gzera like that. So it's very difficult. Okay, everyone get the question? There's it's a related point, but it was a point that it seems that it saw. The part of the whole life of productivity is from one place to another, from Rishos to Rishos Rabim. It's not just that I'm getting it out of my Rishos, and the proof is that there's no issue to get out of your Rishos. You can throw it into the next neighbor's backyard. Why is it mutter? Because you're not putting it in Rishos Rabim. So this Rishos is because you can put it in Rishos Rabim. It's not just stop getting it out of your house. There's no issue like that. You get things out of your house, as long as you're not putting it in Rishos Rabim. So, my machshava is being fulfilled. My Rishos is allowed to be fulfilled. That's perfectly mutter. You're allowed to remove things from your house. As long as you don't put them in Rishos Rabim. And that's all I'm doing. I'm just moving it from my house and putting it into my next neighbor's backyard. An interesting point, I guess Morris is pointing out, is that, so what could you do? Could you just bring it back to your Rishus, put it down on the floor, and then pick it up and put it in your next neighbor's backyard? It would seem so, because what relationship does it have? I mean, you put it down, now it's a new thing. But it's like a funny Isser. So now the Isser is really like a, it's not like, it's like that question they asked on Tosas, it's like a joke, you're not really accomplishing anything. It's like, what are you saying? You don't want it to be bringing it to other Rishus, but he is bringing it to other Rishus. I mean, I know it's, I mean, I'm sure when you go as far, it seems like that won't be a question, but I think it's something to explain, it's something to keep in mind. It's, I think it might rule out certain type of svara or whatever. I'm going to elaborate on what Dave and Ariel are trying to say. Namely, if you want to look at Hotzah, I'm going to kind of break up the process of Hotzah into three steps. Okay? They're like three conceptual steps, although not three practical steps. Okay? Well, the first step is removing the object from one Rishos. Let's say Rishos Yachid, Rishos Rab. Removing it from the Rishos Yachid, namely Akira. Okay? But, and I guess the last step is giving it to Din Rishos Rab. Right? That's the last step. But I'd say in the middle step is that until the object is put down in the Rishos HaRabim, it's like the removal from the Rishos HaYachid isn't complete. Okay? In other words, it's like if I pick up an object and like I just put it right back down, like I didn't really remove it from Rishos HaYachid. You know, now similarly, if I would put up an object, move it outside and then bring it back in and put it back down, also the object wasn't like, until it's at rest, like the removal, when you have an object which has a location, and you pick it up, it's like a wait, so to speak, since it has a makom, it's like awaiting its omid to go back in its makom, it has a location. And when you put it down elsewhere, that, so to speak, completes the removal from the original location.
Almost like a mafreya makes that thing
right,
what it was.
Right, exactly. It completes the removal of the original picking up.
You're not sure until you see the end.
Right, exactly. Right, it's like, if I remove it, move it around, and then put it right back down, or if I move it around, and put it back there somewhere else, it's like, it's a different type of a removal. It's the removal there was like a temporary, the first one was like a temporary removal, so to speak. Another one, it's a real removal. But what makes the removal complete is the putting it down somewhere else. Now, if that somewhere else happens to be Rishos HaRabim, simultaneous with completing the removal, I'm giving it a positive din in the Rishos HaRabim, which is the Malachas Hotzah. Okay, there's no Malacha to complete the removal of Rishos Yachid. There's no Issa like that. That's not the Issa is only when I do the entire thing. I remove it from the Rishos Yachid, and I complete the removal from the Rishos Yachid by giving it a Din Rishos Rabim. Oh, that's actually what we said, maybe, by Carmelis, right? I think that's what we said. At one point we said, that's Issa putting it in Carmelis. Because you're completing the removal from the Rishos Yachid, but without giving it a Din Rishos Rabim. Mm-hmm. So that was Issa Rabbanan. That's like one component of the thing. Right, it's completing the removal
without
putting in another din rishos, which is not rishos harayachid. That's like completing the removal from rishos yachid. So putting in the rishos harabim though simultaneously accomplishes removing it from the rishos yachid and giving it the rishos harabim. Okay. Now I'll say it's like this: that if you so far so good. Is there a question? Okay, so now the thing is like this, is that if you pick something up in your chatzar and you put it in your next door neighbor's chatzar, I'd say that you've completed the removal of the object from your chatzar. Okay? So when it lands on the other guy's chatzar, you've completed the removal from your chatzar, which is mutter. There's no issue like that. But you are completing the removal from your chatzar. Okay. But again, there's no issue. Because it doesn't involve two Rishiyos. There's no issue like that. Okay, fine. Now the thing is like this, is that when you put your hand across the border, take the case, you pick it up in Rishos HaYachid, put it across the border, now you did a Haskalah Hotzah. So what does that mean? It means you did step one of the Hotzah, which is that you've picked it up and removed it from the Rishos HaYachid. Okay? Picked it up, and I guess there's really two steps there. It's picking it up and removing it from the Rishos HaYachid. Apparently, just picking it up isn't anything. That's not even Haskalah Hotzah. But apparently, when you pick it up and put it across the border, and you remove it from the Rishos HaYachid, that's the Haskalah Hotzah, and that's Asr, that's the Issa. Okay, you know, you haven't completed the removal. You haven't completed the removal from your chatzar because it hasn't been munach in a different place yet. Okay, it hasn't been munach in a different place. But that's one step in the hotzah has started. Okay, and that's the iser. That's why it's called hotzah. That's the iser to start the hotzah. You're starting the hotzah by picking it up and removing it from your chatzar. Okay. Now, what the Rabbanan are saying is that when you do the haskalas otzah, it's usur to do step two. This is the raisa is to do step two and step three. But with the Rabbanan, they said, insofar as you did step one of otzah, step two is also usur. It's usur to go further in the otzah. Okay, because further points to the next further, which is the next time it's going to do step two, you're going to end up doing step three also. Okay, so what do I mean?
Further, she never shows.
One side. So what I mean by, let me explain what I mean. So what I mean is that you did step one, which means you've picked it up and removed it from the Rishos Yachid. Now, putting it down in the Rishos HaRabim would be completing the removal from the Rishos HaYachid and simultaneously giving it a Din Rishos HaRabim. Throwing it into the other Chatzer completes the removal from my Chatzer, but it doesn't give it a Din Rishos HaRabim. Okay, now ordinarily that's mutter. Ordinarily it's mutter to do step one and step two, remove it from my chatzar, as long as I don't give it another din rishos harabim. But here, since you began the real hotzah, because you did step one and put it into the rishos harabim, your removal from the rishos yachid was into the rishos harabim, so you've begun the real haskalas hotzah shalisar. This is the raisa. So the saying is that in the Rabbanan, they said that you can't accomplish step two of the Hotzah, which is completing the removal of the object from your Chatzar. Okay, which is going to be even if it's in a different Chatzar. To put it both back to your thing, then it's not. They're not. And that's what it means, it's kind of machshavto. I mean, your machshava is, but it doesn't mean that's the only machshava, but there's part of your machshava, there's two components of your machshava. It's the removal from your Rishas, the complete removal of the thing from your Rishas, and the putting into the other Rishas. Now here, if you throw into the chatzer, you are accomplishing. You started the haskalas hotzah, and you're accomplishing one of the first objective of the of that process, which is getting it out of your shas, okay? Because it's being munachin somewhere else, okay? But you're not accomplishing the second half. But that's the thing, is that if you accomplish that half, then next time you can end up accomplishing the whole thing. So that's why they answered that when you did step one, insofar as you do haskalas hotzah. What did they do? That's the question. What did they do about a guy who does haskalas hotzah? Abaye's idea was maybe a knas. Saying no, they didn't do a knas, but they actually, like, it's like a real, like a shvas almost. It's like they're saying is that insofar as you did haskalas hotzah, you can't do more of the hotzah. You can't do the next step. But if you don't put it outside altogether, if you don't have this case, just stop to put it into the next chatzer, you're not involved in hotzah altogether. So now the Rabbanan isn't going to kick in. This is the Rabbanan is, when you started the hotzah to Rishos HaRabim, you can't do the next step of the hotzah. I mean, but if you don't start that, now there's no iser to just give it to remove it from your chatzer into another chatzer. There's no iser like that.
Just
a
side point.
It's a shvas, not just a knas. I mean, as opposed to the knas of Carmelis is also like a shvas because you're giving it a din of Carmelis, and right. Now it's really like a shvas because you're carrying from Carmelis to your shvas. Shasiachet. But the other knas, the knas ba'alma, is there's no the action of pulling it back doesn't have any significance in the world of otzah. It's just a penalty. It's not allowed to do it. But this idea is not just a penalty. It's a real. It's like a tzuras. It's like partakes of otzah. You did step one of otzah. You can't do step two of otzah. You know, I mean, they were also in the second step, insofar as you started the hotzah.
Right.
That's good. They would say it's true. It's like, that's why if you pull it back and just put it down, so now that's it. So now you did haskalas hotzah, yes, but now you put it back and you ended that. It's over. Now, but if you then pick it up and put it in the next chatzer, it's not furthering the iser because it's put down. There's a hafsik mitzvah. Now it's a stam, an independent action. The action is that insofar as you did this process of putting it across, now you're involved in a process, and you're going further, the next step in that process. They're saying you have to abort the process right there. You can't go further in the process. So just bring it back and end it. But once you do that, now it's a brand new thing if you want to put into the next slot, sir.
The misasa. You know? See, it's on?
Yeah.
Okay. So it says on where you know in the Eilish Mos, it says that God that God lists the Shvatim, you know, in the beginning in the beginning of the parsha. So Rashi says that God counted the Shvatim b'chayim b'misasam. I'm not sure if I'm giving the exact quote, but whatever. Right, so because he counted them in previously, I think in Vayigash, and now he's listing the Shvatim again. So Rashi says just like Kochavim, the Nimshalu Kochavim, just like the stars. The pasuk says Rashi quotes, but whatever, that God counts them B'knisasan V'itziyasan. You know when he brings them out at night and when they come in. So. You know, so what's the comparison? So the thing is that the stars, when they're visible, so then to a person they have a reality, you know, but during the day when they're not there, so the thing is that, that's it, you know, they make no impact on you. But the thing is that that's the same, but when they're not there, they're following a certain system. That's why they reappear every night. They reappear every night because they're following a certain system of the orbital system of the stars, and they follow a certain system that is not perceptible to the senses. You know, what's perceptible is at night when they appear, but the system is not perceptible. That's only perceptible to the mind. So the same thing with the Shvatim. When they're alive, so a person sees them and he makes a certain impression on you, but the system that they follow really... that's not perceptible to the senses. That's only perceptible to the mind, and that's just as real after they're dead. That system of chachma that they follow, even in their death, they reflect that system. That system is just as real while they're alive or dead. What's real to you while they're alive is one aspect of their existence, but the other aspect is just as perceptible when they're not there. Yeah? Nice to the mushroom. So the same thing with stars. You know, the stars, you look up in the sky, wow! Right? But that's only what's perceptible to the senses. But there's another reality of the stars that's perceptible even when they're not there. Right? That's nice.
You say also,
yeah.
That, like, in the case of stars, once they come, people don't really act as if they're real. It's sort of like, they only come out at night, and then during the day they just disappear.
Right.
Maybe like the same thing. But to God, like, they're always sort of have that existence. So.
Right.
So, like, you know, with tzaddikim, even after they die, they still have.
That's right. Exactly. Right. Because their existence is represents the certain ideas that they follow. So the ideas are still extant. Okay, good. Yeah. So let's see. Where do we leave off?
We didn't really do much last time.
Right, that's right. Right. We'll go through the two ideas. The difference between the instinctual drives and the ego drive, the drive for immortality. That's right. Right.
I think we're up to
what's that? Where was that? Right. Okay, good. Okay. So let's see. Okay, Abahanakura Zuha Mufla. This wondrous point. Kalomar. Ha'olam Haba. You see, actually, you know, we should really mention, I mean, the Rambam's, you know, the Mishnah that the Rambam's going on, and we didn't really even take a look at it, but basically I just want to, you know, it says Kol Yisrael Yesh Lem Chelek L'Olam Haba. Okay, everybody has a Chelek in Olam Haba. Shenemar V'Amech Kulam Tzadikim L'Olam Yishu Aretz. Okay, so the everybody has a Yerusha in the Aretz in Olam Haba, Kol Yisrael, right? So that's the Pirush HaMishnah is the Rambam is really going on that. So he wants to explain that area of Olam Haba, and that's what he said up till now, that there are, that he's outlined the groups of people that that formed a certain idea of what this chelik in Olam Haba, which the Mishnah refers to, that everybody gets that chelik, that schar, what this is. Okay, so far that's what the Rambam's outlined, what the idea that people have in their mind, what idea they have formed of this chelik that the Mishnah is talking about, and that supposedly we're all striving for. Yeah.
I know this is a pretty open question, it probably gets asked a lot, but what does that mean?
What's
that
one?
Everybody has a portion.
Well, okay, that's a good question, and that's hopefully that the Rambam is going to go into that.
Okay.
Right? But I guess prior to that question we have to know what it is that the, you know, what the Mishnah is referring to, what that chelik is. Okay, so now the Rambam says this. So the idea that people have formed and the concept that they have derived of what Olam Haba is, what this chelik is, these are the possibilities. And basically it's boiled down to two possibilities. In the minds of the Hamon, these are the two possibilities. It's either the instinctual in one form or another, or it's the egoistic, I should say. Right? The egoistic, the immortality. Or a combination of both. Okay? Aval ha-nekuda ha-zu ha-mufla kolomar ha-olam haba hare me'atu shetimtza misha'ala al-daito bichlau o shechashav bekach Oshinis bonein biyasod hazeh. It's a little difficult to language. Oshishala al elo hashemos amahem ne'marim va'im zehu hatachlis o achas me'elo hashkafos hakodmos hi hatachlis. Okay. So it seems he's saying... All right, let me get the other translation. I just want to take a look at the other translation and see what he says. I think it's a little easier. As you see, it's in... what is this? This is... So in the other translation, in the Gemara, it says like this. It says, Avalzu anakuna niflas ratzalama ha'olam haba ma'at timtza b'shum panim sheyale alibo. There are very few that think or entertain who sheyachsho... Hu shiyachshov, o shiyikach zeha ikar, o shiyomer zeha shem, al ezid davar hu nofo. Im hu tachlis hatova, o achas min hadeos hakadamos, hu hatachlis. Okay, it's a little unclear what he means. He's saying that very few people go into the idea of what this Olam Haba is. Okay? Is it the tachlas hatova, the ultimate good, or o achas min hadeos hakadamos hu tachlas, or is one of the previous opinions the tachlas, the purpose? O shiyavdu ben hatachlas ubein hasiba hameviya el hatachlas, or very few people differentiate between the objective, the purpose, and the means. Okay. Bein hasiba hameviya el hatachlis. Aval ma shesholin ha'am, kulo ha'amon, most people ask, v'hamevinim hech yakumu hamesim, arumim o levushim, how people will get up in tchias hamesim, naked or clothed. V'hem yamdu ba'osan hatachrichin atzman shenikvu bahem, or they get up in the clothes that they were buried in. Berik masam abitziyurim v'yipoy tfirasam obamalbush shiyichse gufam bilvad. You know, what kind of clothes will they be wearing in Yimasa Mashiach when they wake from the dead? Kishiyava Mashiach im yusham ha'ashir v'hadal, will there be poor and rich people? Questions like this. O im yu biyamav chazak v'chalash v'harbe shelos ke'elu b'chaleis. And a lot of questions with regard to these type of details, okay? But very few people go into what is the objective of Torah, okay? Va'ata ha'ma'ayim b'sefer zeh tavin zeh ha'mashal sha'ani memshal lach, that I'm going to show you a mashal. Va'az tachin libcha Tavin libcha, v'tishma divrei dvari b'chol zeh. Okay, so maybe we'll come back to this. I mean, it's, you know, he's just in a general sense, it seems he's saying that very few people go into the idea of what is the purpose of Torah. You know, they're interested more in details, but they don't differentiate what is the objective of Torah and what's the means. Okay? But now he's going to go into, he wants to bring in Marshall. So let's go a little further and we'll see, you know, it's a little bit unclear exactly what the Rambam means at this point. Okay? Because it seems that the kitos that he brought, that's what they're trying to understand. They have different opinions as to what the ultimate good is. One maintains the ultimate good is the instinctual, the other one maintains its immortality. Okay? So that seems to be what they are dealing with. But okay. Another Rambam's like this. I'm back in the other translation in the Kapach. Okay? He says, "Naniach shenar tzoyer huchnas etzel mechanech l'alam de Torah." Okay, there's a young boy that comes to the to Rebbe to learn Torah. V'zeh tova gedola lo biglal mash yagei la mina shlemus. And this is the ultimate good thing for him to achieve and to learn Torah and to become a talmid chacham. Okay. Ela shehu machmas gila because of his young age v'choser daito and his lack of knowledge because of his immaturity and lack of knowledge lo yavin erech osa tov, he's not aware of this good, not aware of the good of knowledge. Okay, that is the ultimate good, to have knowledge, but he's not aware of that. Okay, he's not able to know that value. Okay, v'lo Mashi yavi lo mina shlemas, and he doesn't have a true opinion of what the value of perfection is. Vine hahechrich maybe as a malamid shuhu mushlam imenu lezarza as a lima bedaver hachaviv alav machmas gilo hatzar, and the teacher has to incentivize him with something other, something that he will be able to evaluate, that the young child will want. Okay, he can't incentivize him with Torah itself because he doesn't know that value. V'yomalo lomad ve'etein lach egozim alteinim. He says, if you learn, I'll give you nuts or this fruit. O etein lach chatichas sukkar, or you know, candy. Va'az yomad v'yishtadol lo latzam alimad. And then he'll learn and he'll try to proceed in knowledge, to learn. L'fisheina yadeya l'zeh ha'erch. He doesn't know the value of the learning itself, right? But the student will become studious in order to gain that the reward that the teacher promised him. Okay. V'az yomad v'shtadol l'atzim alim l'fishen yodei l'zeh erech ela kidei l'hasig oso ha'ochel, to get that food, to get the reward, the candy. V'achilas oso ha'michel etzla yosef chashu min alimad. And the candy bar, to him, is more important than the learning. Right, because he's learning for the sake. The learning is a means to acquire the candy bar. So the ultimate good is the candy bar, and the learning is just the means. Okay, v'yoseh tov b'li safek, and that is definitely greater than learning. The candy bar is definitely greater, without a doubt. L'ficha choshev hu es halimud amel v'yagia shehu amel bo kidei sheyasig ba'osa amel osa matara chaviv alav, and the learning is simply work. He has to work in order to get the reward. Okay. Vihia egos is, and the reward is the nut of the candy. Kasher gadol, when he gets bigger, when his chazak sechlo is more intelligent, nasa kalba enough. He realizes the candy is not such a good thing. Also davar shayim machshiv makodem, the thing that he thought was so great, the candy bar, is all of a sudden not the most impressive thing in his life anymore. Okay, and now he's replaced it with something else, something more valuable to him. Okay, v'chazer. So now the teacher has to reinvent a new incentive that will be appropriate for his value system, because the candy bar is not exactly he's not going to sit and learn all day for it to get a candy bar. Okay, v'chazer laharich dvar macherim. He has to invent new things. Okay, mishadlemoso ba'oso adavar heyoser chashuv beinav. Okay, there's something. There must be something more important in his eyes. The teacher says to him, "Lamad ve'ekna lach na'alim na'im, abayin ha'shoes." Oh, beged shetarakach. Okay, or nice clothing. V'gamaz yishtadol lo le'etzem alimud. And in that case, he's also not learning for the learning's sake, right? But he's learning for a substitute for the candy. He substitutes something more valuable, like clothing. El lo salavish ki oso habeged etzla yosech hashuv min alimud. But still, the beged is more important than the learning, and the learning is a means. V'hu tachlas alimud kasher tia daito yoser shlema. When he becomes even more sophisticated, v'yakel be'inav davar zeh, and the clothing becomes also something small in his eyes. Mishdalam also b'mashu yosem zeh, so we'll have to incentivize him with something greater than that. V'yomer lo malamdo lamed pasha zua perek zeh v'etin lach dinar shnei dinarim. I'll give you money. V'gamaz yomer v'yishtadel kedei lekavalos amos v'kabalos amos esli yosem nichber mi'olimah. Same story. Okay, the fisha tachlas alimud etzla. The purpose of limud is kabbalas amal shuv tachla is to get the money. Because sheyia bal hakara yoser, when he becomes more sophisticated, v'yakav beinav gam davar zeh, and the money also becomes, he realizes that's not the end all and be all. V'yada shu davar pachas merech, it's also not so valuable. Mishad l'masav amashu yoser chashu mizeh. Now he has to incentivize him with something further. So now the Rebbe has to tell him that if you learn, you'll become a great man. You'll become famous. Okay. So the same story. Then it's simply a greater reward. So the learning then becomes so that he should be famous. The purpose is people will honor him. And they will praise him. Okay. Another Rambam says, V'chozem aguna. And this is all a low thing. Okay, it's a low level. Ela shetzrichem lekach. But nevertheless, even though it is a low level, it's not the ultimate, it's necessary. Machmas kalos das adam, because of the mental apparatus of man, it's necessary because a person doesn't start off on a high level, he starts off on a low level. His motives and his intentions and his thoughts are on a lower level. Okay, that's the way he starts off. So therefore the method, the approach of education has to be suitable for his level. If he's not on a high level, if he's on a lower level, and that's how man starts off, so the method of education has to be suited to that. So it's necessary to incentivize him with something other than the learning. Okay. She'os etachlis machmas kalos dasa adam. Because of the insufficiency of his knowledge, that the person makes something else the purpose of learning other than learning, outside of learning. Why should I learn this thing? Only in order to attain a certain imaginary good. Be'emes. V'zehu eitzel chachamim shelo lishma. Kolomer shehu mekayim es ha-mitzvos v'osa osam. He is mekayim mitzvos. He keeps mitzvos and he does them. V'lomeid and learns. U'mishtaldel and he strives. Lo leman oso ha-davar atzmo. Elo leman davar acher. But for something else. Okay. Then he says, "V'hizhirunu chachamim alav shalom mizeh." The chachamim warned about this. "V'ama lo sasem atar lehizgadu b'hem." Don't make them a crown to glorify yourself. "V'lo kardem lach b'hem," or a shovel to dig with. "Romzim l'mashu biyati lach." They're hinting to what I told you. "Shlo yase tachas alimud." You should not make the purpose of limud lo shiyachabdu b'nei adam, not for honor, v'lo rechishus mamon, or to make a livelihood. V'al yaseh toras Hashem parnasa, lo yeyetzo tachas halimud el yediyaso bilvad. Okay, v'chein ein tachles ha'emes el adashu emes. Okay, v'hamitzvos emes ulechein tachlisam kila. Okay, so what does the Rambam say? So what is Rambam saying? What is the correct reason that a person should learn?
Just for the learning itself.
Just for the learning itself. Right? So in other words, the Rambam is saying that there is no purpose outside of learning. In other words, if a person is looking for something outside of learning, that is incorrect. Right? I don't know if I should know. Okay. All right. Okay. So another room says like this. Okay. Okay, Va'asala Adam Hashalem Shiyomer. Okay. Va'asala Adam Hashalem Shiyomer Imasisi Elo Hatovos Venimnasi Me'elu Haraos Shihizer Shemehem Bama Yiyegmuli. Okay, and it's forbidden for a person to say, if I do these good things and I stay away from these bad things, what will be my reward? Right? Because then he's saying they're not really good. The things that I'm doing are not really good. It's the reward that's the good. Okay? Lefi shezek kamo sheyom hanar im lumadati, if I learn ma yinasein li, what will be given to me? Ve'omrim lo davar ploni. Lefi shekasher ra'inu choser daito she'eno mevin erech ha'davar hazeh, when he sees his lack of knowledge, when the teacher sees that the student has a lack of knowledge, and he doesn't appreciate the true good, so he's looking for a tachlis for a tachlis. He's looking for a purpose for the purpose, right? Because the purpose is this thing, and he's looking for another purpose for that. Okay, so then the Rambam goes into different, he shows from different psukim this idea. And then he says, I guess. He says, okay. Now he says, I guess. Okay. He says, V'lo yis'alem mimenu. He says, when yisbarashu mataras ha-mitzvot v'yisod ha-munas chachamim. Okay, it's clear that this is the purpose for the mitzvot. V'lo yis'alem mimenu. And this idea, right, this idea that learning is the true good for man, and the other imagined good, the imaginary goods, like the taivas and the egoistic, right, those are not the true goods. He says this idea is only hidden from a sechel upesi, a foolish person, an ignorant person. Okay, asher kvar hishchisu hazayos hadeos hashigyonos v'hademyonos hagruos, which the fantasies, different fantasies and different insanities have destroyed his mind. So therefore he can't understand the idea that the true enjoyment in life is learning. Okay? V'zuhi milas avram avinu shehaya ovid me'ava. And this really was the level of Avram Avinu, that he served God from Ava. Okay? V'al ha-derech hazu chova lishov. And on this derech, a person is required to go, is required to try to achieve this level. U'lefi she'yadu chachamim aleihem ha-shalom, since the chachamim realized she'inyin zeh kasha ma'od, this thing is very difficult for a person to be to be oved me'ava. Ve'ein kol adam yachol hasigo. Not every person is able to achieve that level where he's oved me'ava. Okay? Ve'im yasigenu, and if he does achieve it, lo yasher be'enav. It's not going to be so clear in his eyes. Be'ein rishon, in the first time he looks at it. Ve'lo yira lo shehu das amitas. And it will not appear that this is true to him. A person in his life, he's used to just doing things to achieve some end, to achieve some beneficial end, and to avoid harm. But he's not used to doing things for their own sake. Okay, so therefore he says it's a very difficult thing, and even if a person could see it a little, it's going to be, he'll just see it very... He won't be able to see completely unless he reaches a certain, and this was the level of Avraham Avinu, that he was able to achieve this fully, where he is able to see the benefit in following Torah itself, not for another purpose. Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say. Right?
That's the only thing like that, though, right?
What's that?
There's nothing else except Fachma that can be done for the sake of it done itself. Right?
I mean, right, that's right.
It's possible to, right?
Right, because if you're saying that's the ultimate good,
right,
then everything else could be done. It has to be done for that, for the sake of the chacham, right?
Let's say like a person that loses life for pleasure, he can say that pleasure is the ultimate end.
Right.
It really depends on how you live your life.
It depends on how you live your life, right. But in other words, right, okay, but let me just ask you one question. In other words, the Rambam starts off here saying that, yeah, he says, this idea, right, that Torah is not a means to anything else. This idea, he says, is only hidden from a person that's a complete fool. That's how he starts off saying, right? Lo yisalem imenu, the only person that would not know this concept, that Torah is not a means, but Torah is the purpose of a person's life. Right? In other words, when a person keeps Torah and follows Torah and lives the life of Torah, he's doing it for the sake of that life itself. That is the greatest good. Right? This idea is only hidden from a person that's a sechel, a pesi, a complete fool. Asher kfar shchisu, hazayis adeos, his fantasies have overtaken his mind and he simply is out of reality. A person like that doesn't understand this idea. Right? But then he goes on to say, right, then he goes on to say that this is a very difficult idea to attain this, and very few people could reach it. So it would seem, he starts off saying this, you know, a person that doesn't know this is a complete fool. And then he says there's only a few people that could possibly realize this, like Avraham Avinu. But the average person is simply can't comprehend this. Right? So, I mean, it seems he's saying two opposite things. Yeah.
Well, it's one thing to recognize that, and it's another to actually fully practice it as such.
Okay.
So, there is a distinction between the two.
Right,
it's
okay.
It's one thing to intellectually recognize that it's an end in and of itself.
Right.
But to actually live that way and feel that way and really approach it that way in everything that you do in regards to how you approach Torah...
Right.
Until the day you die, that's a whole other endeavor.
Okay. So what are you saying? So what's the Rambam saying?
There's no real contradiction, I'm saying, between the way he's phrasing it.
Right, okay. So the Rambam's saying, when the Rambam starts off with saying that a person that can't comprehend this is very foolish, so in what case is he talking about over there?
I'm saying that he can recognize that it's the supreme value,
right?
But not really necessarily. I hate to use the word feel it, but but really internalize it.
Okay.
Whereas,
so he's saying one type of guy is what? What are the two? Talking about two different people.
One type of guy is the guy who recognizes it but hasn't fully internalized it.
Okay.
And the other one is the guy who recognizes it and fully internalizes it.
Okay, one second. One type of guy... Okay.
There's recognition and there's internalization.
So the person that he, you know, as he's saying, one person is totally off the track, right? That he is simply a fool.
Right.
Okay. So which guy is that?
The guy who doesn't even recognize that this is that's an end in of itself.
Okay. So there's a guy that can't see the idea. They cannot see the idea.
Right.
And as if you try to explain to him this idea, it's simply there's no way he could understand that idea. Right?
It's interesting they call him a fool, though. I mean, it just means he's a clever guy. I mean, you see that all the time. I mean, it's just that.
Right, okay.
See how it's hard for a person to accept that they're doing things for honor. You know, that you have an intellectually honest person.
Right, okay.
It's weird they call him like a stupid guy.
Okay. Okay, well, what is... So in other words, what does the Rambam mean? The Rambam means that the person's emotions are such that the intellect, his intelligence, cannot understand the idea. In other words, the Rambam is saying the idea itself is a simple idea, right? The idea itself that the Rambam is trying to explain to you is not a very difficult idea. So what's the difficulty then? In other words, why is it that only Avraham Avinu could reach this level? What's the difficulty? In other words, what the Rambam is saying is that the most enjoyable life is a life of learning. And the life of the pleasures, of the physical pleasures, is not the ultimate enjoyment, right? Is not really an enjoyable life. So that idea itself is not intrinsically a difficult idea, but it's something that emotionally it's very hard for a person to believe, because a person is attached to, from youth, to these concepts that pleasure and the enjoyments, right? That these are the ultimate goods, right? So. The difficulty is an emotional one. But the Rambam saying is that there are certain people that emotion prevents them from even being able to recognize this concept. In other words, the mind is totally blocked off from understanding that. A person like that, the Rambam says, is a fool. Right? It means that the intelligence cannot operate at all. Right? The person's mind cannot see the idea. He simply, that's it. To him, he cannot go beyond the emotion. The emotional attachment to the physical does not allow him at all to see this idea, right? But then there's another person that he could see the idea, right? The question is, to what degree can he follow it, right? There's a difference between being able to see an idea and to what degree can I follow that idea, right? So that the Rambam's not calling a fool. That the Rambam's saying most people fall into some level of that, some degree of that. Of that idea, that they can understand the idea, they could see, they could comprehend the idea, but the question is how, to what degree they could apply it to their lives. That depends on each person. Okay? But that's a difference, but in other words, that's a qualitative difference. There are two ways that a person is influenced by his emotions. One way is that he cannot see the idea at all. The mind is totally incapacitated. And the other way is the mind can see it. The only question is, how far can he go in following it? Okay, those are two different things. A person could see an idea, but yet personally he can't, in his life, he can only apply it to a limited degree. Okay? His emotions prevent him from acting on it. Okay, but in terms of seeing the idea, that the person could do. Okay? So those are the two levels. Right? Okay? Okay, and that the Rambam says is a very difficult thing. A person can see this idea, but to really be able to experience it, I mean, you can see a thing in theory, right? But then when it comes down to your actual life, it's a very hard thing to really be convinced and really follow the thing 100%. Okay, because a person is trained to follow these emotional pleasures, and no matter how enjoyable the learning is, he still somehow falls back to those enjoyments. Yeah.
Also, in a sense, if you take it back to the analogy of the Muhammad and the student, suppose if the student can't recognize the end in of itself, but nonetheless the Muhammad is still giving him the money afterwards. The student.
Yeah.
Eventually came to recognize the good in of itself of learning Torah.
Right.
But nonetheless, the Muhammad still afterwards is giving him money, so it's hard for him to remove the money from his mind.
The student, you know, he would give him the other, he'd replace the rewards because the student got tired of the old reward, but not that the student was doing it for the learning itself.
Doesn't need the reward anymore.
Right, then right. Then he'd stop giving.
But nonetheless, the teacher is still giving the reward, so it's hard for the student.
No, the Rambam says that then the teacher shouldn't give it.
Right, but what I'm saying is, though, it's analogous, the fact that we're getting Olam Haba,
right,
is as if the Mlamed is still giving the money, despite the fact...
Well, the Rambam doesn't discuss Olam Haba. He's not discussing Olam Haba. Now, the only thing the Rambam's showing is that what people think of Olam Haba is false. And as people think of Olam Haba as an exchange for what we do in this world. You know, as we do X in this world, we learn, we follow the mitzvahs in this world, and in exchange for that, you're going to get something in the next world. The Rambam says that idea is a false idea. But the only reason why we follow the Torah and engage in learning in this world is for no purpose other than the thing itself. In other words, if the person is engaging in learning or mitzvahs and has in mind that because of this, I'm going to receive something, the Rambam is saying, that is not Lishma. That's not Lishma. That means that there's something in his mind that I'm going to get in exchange for this, that means that there's something else that he values more than this. So that itself is not Lishma. Okay? So therefore, the only time a person is Lishma is where he expects nothing, no result from the action. And as if the moment he expects a result from the action, then that means that the action itself is not the good. Right? So there's any idea that, because I do this, I'm getting something in the next world, that's lo lishma. Now what the next world is, he's not up to there. But he's just saying it can't be that. And as anything in the next world cannot be an exchange for what you did here. If that's the case, then this is lo lishma. It means you're not doing it for the sake itself. And as the only purpose that a person wants to learn is to gain the knowledge itself. The only purpose for the knowledge is the knowledge itself. And if there's any other purpose other than the knowledge, then that means that the knowledge is not what he's after. It's something else. That's lo lishma. So the Rambam says that's a very difficult lever, which you could well see, right? Because what you're saying is that the person is learning, right? And in the back of his mind, there's no idea of something I'm going to receive. No idea of a reward. I'm gaining knowledge, just the only purpose for the gaining knowledge is to gain the knowledge. That's it. And there's nothing else he expects in return. Now that is not, sounds like a very simple idea, but that's not such an easy concept because, people do an action, they are used to, they have a certain, idea in their mind that, I'm doing this, I'm going to get something. I mean, that's normally the way a person operates. He operates based on to get a certain instinctual pleasure or to avoid a certain pain. He does not operate usually for the thing itself because he simply loves the thing itself. That is a very rare thing. Yeah?
Do we say that... we say that it's a most enjoyable thing, they personally live this life, they don't live on their nature, it's the most enjoyable thing.
Right.
But is that a reward, saying that you'll be satisfied that you're
right? Well, that is the reward. That thing itself is the reward. That's right.
No, that's a separate thing. There's knowledge itself. Right?
Knowledge itself. That is the reward, that I got the knowledge, that right. I enjoy the knowledge.
So the happiness that comes from that is also a separate thing. That's also like a reward.
No. That's what the Rambam means. The enjoyment of the thing. That there's no purpose other than the enjoyment of the thing. Acquiring that thing. And as a person's learning to gain knowledge, the only purpose of all of the gain in knowledge is the knowledge itself. That is the purpose. The enjoyment of the learning itself. Right? There is no other purpose beyond that. There can't be any other purpose. If there's any other purpose beyond the appreciation of the knowledge itself, then that's lo lishma.
What about learning how to think? That's almost like a reward, kind of? To say, I'm going to learn so I can learn how to think, to learn more. Is that already a separate thing?
No, that means he wants to... You see, the question is, why does he want to learn how to think? Does he want to learn how to think because he wants to be a person who knows how to think? Or does he want to learn how to think because he can gain more knowledge, right? Because he has a love of knowledge. So therefore, he wants to be able to appreciate knowledge to the best of his capacity. That is lishma, because it means what's driving him is appreciation of knowledge, the love of knowledge. You see? So therefore, everything he's doing is for the love of knowledge. But now, if you'll say, well, why do you want the knowledge? That question, once you're asking that question, that means that the knowledge is lishma. If I say why I want the knowledge, and there's any reason, if there's any reason for wanting knowledge, then it's lishma. That means, why do you want the knowledge? Oh, it's going to give me X, Y, Z. That means, you know, that means nothing. The knowledge is a means. Once the knowledge is a means, then that's not lishma. Lishma means this is the thing you want. Yeah.
Implicit in pursuing it for the sake of knowledge itself is also to implement the knowledge, presumably, right?
What do you mean to implement knowledge?
Meaning learning the Torah for the sake of learning how to live by Torah.
No, well then that means it's not the knowledge itself.
So, okay.
Right? No, that means to say like this. If a person is learning in order to live, in order to... Let's say a person is learning because he wants to know, be able to do the mitzvahs perfectly, right? Okay, so then that means that the learning is a means to doing the mitzvahs.
To serve God.
Right, okay.
So
That's right. In other words, lo lishma means it's a means to something else.
You wouldn't change it.
That's right, exactly. So a means means, if I could get that thing, then I wouldn't do this. Right? So if a person says, why am I learning? I'm learning so I'll know what to do. Right? So that means to say that if you'd have a person, if you have a book there that could tell you every single thing what to do, there'd be no purpose for learning. That's lo lishma. That is lo lishma. Right? Lishma means a person learns, it's true he wants to know what to do, but the learning is a value in and of itself. It means to say that a person would learn kachim even though there's no Beis Hamikdash. Person he'll learn, even the person will learn hilchos what kohanim have to do, even though he's not a kohen, or different halachos that the case never existed. Ben Saramara, person is enjoys that, appreciates that just as much as any other part of Torah. So then he has the appreciation of the thing itself. But if you tell me, listen, I'm not going to learn this because I don't have this. This thing doesn't apply to me, so why should I learn it? Oh, that so then what you're saying is that the mitzvah of learning, that the value of learning is a means to action. It's just a means to something else. That means there's no intrinsic value in this thing. That is shelo lishma. There's no difference between that and a person learns so he can get a candy bar.
Back to Dan's example, I had a question. Like,
yeah.
So can you really say that guy that he sits down and he learns every day, but he hates it. But he's doing it because he sees, let's say, the value in learning, I guess. But at that moment, he doesn't enjoy it at all. Can you really say he's doing it lishma?
What's the case? The guy is sitting down learning.
He sits down and learns, but it's very difficult for him, and he doesn't get any enjoyment out of the process.
So why is he doing it?
I guess because he sees that there's some value, but really, I guess in the future.
Right. Okay.
So can you say that? I mean.
So that's a form of lishma, yeah, because he's learning because he sees. Let's say he got enjoyment out of it, right? Mm-hmm. He got enjoyment for learning, but it's very difficult for him. He's, let's say, for instance, a person, hears a chacham and he enjoys it tremendously, right? But now, in order to get to that level, it requires a lot of work. He has to master Gemara, he has to master the lashon, he has to do all of those things. There's a lot of steps to get to the level where he can enjoy too, but he's doing it for the enjoyment, so that's lishma.
Even though he doesn't have the enjoyment.
That's right. But why is he doing all the thing, all these actions? He's doing all these actions because of his love of learning. So then that is Torah lishma.
And you said also that if you recognize it like the lifestyle, that's also lishma because you said that it's all one system. Right?
It's one system. That's right.
So if you see like a chacham living, you say, okay, that's wow.
That's right. And now this person conducts himself to achieve that level,
right,
even though he's not on the level right now, but that he's doing that for that, for the thing itself. That's right.
Can
that would be
lishma. So can you say, how can this person really be doing a lishma if he doesn't even get enjoyment?
What's that? Mm-hmm. Out of the particular action. That's right. But out of the particular action right now, let's say for instance I open a Gemara, right? I want to learn the Gemara, so I have to first read the Gemara. Right, so the reading of the Gemara is not going to be enjoyable, and I have to look up the words and whatever it is. Right, so there's a certain amount of of work the person has to do to get the enjoyment. Yes, but that's part of the learning. I mean, what Lishma means is that he's not doing this as a means to anything else. Right? His motivation to learn is for the learning itself. Right?
Yeah.
But in this case, it seems like it is sort of for something else, that he's doing it so that he can learn and enjoy it.
Right, okay.
Now he doesn't enjoy it.
Yeah, now he doesn't enjoy it, correct.
So then it seems like it's not Lishma.
Well, let's put it this way. If I ask you, is he reading Lishma? I'd say no. But is he engaged? In other words, it depends how you define the activity, right? I'm defining the activity as part of learning. If you're defining the activity as translating words, so then I'd answer you, you're right. He's not translating words for the sake of translating words. He's doing that for the sake of something else. So if I ask you, is translating words Lishma? No. It's for the knowledge that he's going to gain. Right? But that's the only thing we're saying. The other thing we're saying is, what the Rambam is saying is, that gaining knowledge is only the Shema if he's gaining knowledge for no other purpose but just to know that thing. Right? So when you ask me, is the person who's breaking his teeth in order to master how to learn Gemara, right? Is that Lishma? Well, if you mean by Lishma, is he doing that? Is the motive behind that to in order to gain knowledge for knowledge's sake, right? So then that's Lishma. That is Lishma. He's doing this Lishma. He is doing for that purpose.
So then would you say someone who got a job,
yeah,
but the only reason why he has the job is so that he could have time to learn.
That's right, that's right, that's right.
And that job is Lishma.
That's right, that's right. He is involved in Torah Lishma. That's Torah Lishma. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
So if you're saying that this guy that's doing the learning, he's doing it Lishma for the sake of the learning itself.
Yes.
So how is it that he's not getting enjoyment from it? Let's say in that situation.
Right, because right now he has to... Well, right now he's not involved in the comprehension of knowledge, but his action is motivated by an internal... His motivation is Torah Lishma. It's Torah Lishma. Now, he's not right now involved in comprehending knowledge, but in knowledge there's a lot of steps that go on that is not the actual comprehension. But he's not involved in an activity. He's not involved in using learning as a means, that's for sure. Right, that's why I mean there's a lack of terasa manasa. If a person is totally involved in learning, right, so he's pater from mitzvah. So what does terasa manasa mean? That he has to be learning every second of the day? I mean, how's it possible? Let's say a person has to go to work, right? He can't be terasa manasa. I mean, just because he's working. I mean, even a person that's terasa manasa, he has to do certain things in order to live, right? So what does it mean? I mean, at what point are you terasa manasa? 18 hours a day? 12 hours a day, 30 hours, well, can't be 30 hours. Right? That's not what Terasa Manasa means. It doesn't mean that the person is learning somehow every second. No, what it means is that all of his energy is directed to learning. That's what Terasa Manasa means. It means there is no activity that he's doing, okay, that is to satisfy any energy other than learning. Right? So if a person goes to work because he has to work, you know, because emotionally he has to work, he just can't learn all day. Right? That's not Torah Samanoso, because a certain amount of his energy is directed to other things, and that is Chayav Mitzvos. But let's say, for instance, a person is working simply because, for no other purpose than to learn. Right? And every action he does is for no other person than to learn. When he eats, he doesn't really he's not eating for the purpose of deriving enjoyment or indulging in food. He eats because he has to keep up his strength so he can learn. So all of his energy is in learning. That's terasa manasa. I don't care if the guy's learning 1 hour a day. Because what difference will it make? How many hours a day is learning? It means that all his energy is directed towards learning. So even when that's why the Rambam says, how can a person be Ovid Hashem? Every action he does is Ovid Hashem. Because if the purpose of every one of his actions is for the purpose of perfection and chachma, then insofar as he's working, that's avodas Hashem. That is the purpose for that action. Every single act that person does is for that aim. That is Torah Lishma. But if the aim of the action is something extraneous to Torah, So then that means, insofar as he's doing that activity, he's not involved in the true pursuit. You know, insofar as a person's working to gain money because of the fantasy that he will, this will make him immortal, right? That his money will last him, whatever it is, or the fantasy of becoming somebody great. So that means there is some motive in him which is different than the desire for truth.
Yeah.
Let's say a person's feeling, say, a certain frustration.
Yeah.
And he says, "Oh, I need to take a break, play basketball, or
yes.
do something."
That's right.
So that I'll be able to think clearly and learn.
Okay.
Would that be the same thing we're talking about?
Well, the point is like this. The point is, if the person, then that would not be Torah Samanaso. Another, that would mean like this, that if a person says, listen, I have to take a break, it means to say that his energy is split. In other words, it means to say that while he's learning, there's a certain part of him that's unsatisfied. Right? Like a person that has, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm not giving this as a recommendation for anybody because, you know, there are very few people that could exist on this level. So this conversation doesn't practically apply to any of us. But on a theoretical level, right, a person's learning and needs a break. What does that mean? That means to say that there's a certain portion of his energy which is being frustrated while he's learning. Right? He has a certain amount of his energy that he's that is directed to taivas. He wants to engage in enjoyments. He wants to go out, do things, whatever it is. Right? While he's learning, he has to frustrate those energies. He cannot allow those energies to be satisfied. Right? So therefore, the energy that is directed to learning, to the enjoyment of chachma, he's satisfying that. But there's a certain point where the frustrated energies now need to be satisfied. So that's why the person says, listen, I need a break. And then my mind will be clear. What do you mean your mind will be clear? Well, why is your mind not clear? Yeah, it's not clear because there's some distraction. There's an internal distraction. Right? Now, therefore, he's doing this action to remove the internal distraction. Right? Okay, so that's, of course, a rational thing. And that is part of perfection. Because perfection doesn't mean to live in a unrealistic way. Perfection means where a person lives according to reality. And the internal reality is a reality. So if a person says, this is my internal reality, I have X portion of my energy which is directed in this area, so now I must satisfy that. To deny that would be denying reality.
So the difference is really whether or not it's an internal distraction or an external distraction. If it's an external distraction, then you can be removing that with Shema.
That's right, exactly. If it's an external thing, then that means, oh, I need a shelter. I mean, I need a shelter. So I have to go to work, and now I have to get that. Right? But if I would have the shelter, I wouldn't go to work. Right? Then that means, internally, all of his energy is going towards Torah. Then he's potter from the mitzvahs. Right? But if all the energy is not, so then that means that he needs the mitzvahs. Obviously, he needs the mitzvahs, because it means to say that he needs certain the mitzvahs. The purpose of the mitzvahs is, what is the purpose of the mitzvahs really? The purpose of mitzvahs is really to improve the person internally so that he will be directed towards the ultimate purpose of man, which is appreciation of chachma. Right? That's the purpose of mitzvahs. Now, if a person, all of his energy is already directed to chachma, so therefore, that's it, he's potter. But insofar as a person does not partake of that, insofar as a person, some of his energy is directed to other things, so then he could get, then that is the purpose of the mitzvahs, to perfect him, to remove his energy from those areas and direct them towards Torah. So let's say a person learns an hour a day, but all of his energy is in Torah. That's it, it's part of it.
Can we have a person with that halachic status today? Or?
I guess theoretically.
Right. It's a very difficult level to achieve.
Yeah, I mean, is anybody there? I don't know, but. But yeah, certainly, if a person would meet those criteria, and if he would meet them, he certainly would know who he is. Right? He couldn't meet them and then be in doubt. If he's in doubt, that's it. You know, he didn't meet them. But if he is certain with his mind, he knows, so he's Torah someone else.
So that's a personal thing that every... Like,
person has to know. Person has to know, right. That's right. That's right, exactly.
That's not really a question. I guess you're saying that person knows...
He knows, and of course, you know, I'm sure that other people could observe and see, you know,
right.
You know, a person that's on that level, certainly, you know, when you come into contact, you realize this person's not operating you know, you realize this, the identification that normally you have with the person doesn't work here. This guy's operating differently. That's it. Ready? Okay.